Our second reading today is from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. As we come to that, let's pray. Our Lord, our Heavenly Father, we come now to your word. Your word is full of instruction and wisdom, and your word is full of the words of salvation as well, Lord. It is through your word that we have come to know you and all that you have done for us. It is through your word that we come to know how we ought to live. Help us, Lord, as we come to your word today to understand it. Plant these words deep in our hearts and our minds, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Amen. What makes a good parent? What makes a good child? My father, for all his faults, was a good father. A lot of times he was fun to be with, and at other times he could be fierce, especially if we had done wrong as children. But my father was also a Christian, and only later in life did I recognize that he grew as a father as he grew as a Christian. As Christians, we recognize that we will never be perfect children or perfect parents, but we hope that we would grow in these things as we grow as Christians. Family relationships are important. The relationship between parent and child is special. During the formative years of our lives, our parents take hold of us. We depend upon them. We need them. Parents play a vital role as they raise children. Today, many in the world see raising children as a burden. Others see their children as a way of living out their dreams. Children are idolized by their parents, and sometimes discipline is set aside and the children seem to be in control of their parents. And in other cases, the rod is brought down so hard that life for the children is full of grief. How does God see the relationship between parents and children? And how should children view their parents? How should parents relate to their children? Well, Paul has been writing to the church in Ephesus, and he is in the middle of describing to them how they must live lives worthy of the gospel. They are already saved, but having been saved, they ought to be ridding themselves of sin. They are to live with care, with wisdom. They should be forsaking sin and taking up the life that is being created in them by God. And the order of these things is really important. It's important to remember because we're in the middle of these passages that are telling us about how we ought to live. And as we look at these things, we're going to find ourselves falling short time and time again. And such passages can make us feel guilty. And they should make us feel guilty because we are guilty of sin. But on the other hand, it should never make you doubt your salvation. When you are in Christ, your place in eternity is secure. And while you should do something about the sin in your life, you do it without the threat of condemnation and hell hanging over you. Now, within this larger section, we're in the middle of a section where Paul is talking about submission within the church. In verse 21, he wrote, "Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Those who are in Christ fear him. We revere him. He is the one who has rescued us and will never let us go. And so we gladly take shelter in him. And so our lives are lived in response to him and all that he has done for us. And as sin is revealed in us, the reason we repent and change our ways is not out of fear of condemnation, but out of reverence for him. And apart from submitting to Christ, there are many relationships we have in which we are called to submit to others. Submission is setting aside our own desires to act on someone else's desire. It is giving in to the authority of another. Within the church, we all submit to Christ. We are one with him and members of his body, but he is the head. We submit to him. And in the same way, we've seen already that husbands and wives are one, but the wife is called to submit to her husband. The husband is the head. The husband is to love his wife as his own body. But between people, there is an order. There are heads and there are members of families and of other groupings in the wider community. And so there are going to be people in your life that you should submit to in addition to Christ. And you are called by Christ to do so out of reverence for him. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And Paul is working through several examples. He started with marriage, and today we come to children and parents. Chapter 6 of Ephesians begins, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." The children that Paul is talking to are the children of parents who are still raising them, and as we'll see in verse 4, and the first instruction he has for them is to obey their parents in the Lord. Children ought to submit to their parents. Children should obey their parents. And this isn't a cultural thing. It's not an example of doing more than is necessary. It's not even an example of Christian-specific living. It's a moral matter. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Across the world, across cultures, this has nearly always been considered a moral matter. Only in the most depraved societies has it been considered otherwise. When Paul writes of the worst of evil and wickedness in the world, children disobeying their parents is amongst lists of other deeply depraved sins. Romans chapter 1 says, "They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, and ruthless." In chapter 3 of his second letter to Timothy, he writes, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good." Children are to obey their parents. It is a matter of morality. It isn't a small thing we can just set aside. It is deeply immoral for children to disobey their parents. In the Old Testament, it was in the law that those who stubbornly and continuously refused to obey their parents were to be put to death. We know our children aren't perfectly obedient, that's a given. And parents aren't perfect either. But that doesn't make this a minor moral matter. It's a significant one, and the Bible says it's deadly serious. It's why our children need Christ as much as we do. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It is wrong and sinful to disobey. There is, of course, the same exception as always. Now, the call is to obey, but not blindly, but in the Lord. Even for children, the call to obey is dependent upon their relationship with the Lord. And so a child commanded to act sinfully does not need to obey in that circumstance. There's no loss of honour to the parent if the child disobeys a command to sin. One might even say there's a greater honour for the parent whose child is actually living to please the Lord. Our relationship with Christ comes first. And the call to obey doesn't mean that children should accept abuse from their parents. The sad fact is that parents are sinful, and what some parents have done is so deeply wrong that justice must be looked for. The love that Christ has for children in Scripture is called out time and time again, and He would want justice for children who have suffered in such a way. As a church community, we should be on the lookout for the well-being of the children in this church. And I certainly hope that those here would only ever intend good for them, but because the days are evil, we need to be careful. It would be a tragedy for a child to face hell here on earth and have nowhere to go, no one to talk to, no way of escape, and no hope for justice. It is a matter of Christ-like love for us as a congregation to care for the children who are here. But apart from such circumstances, which we hope would be never, our children are to submit to their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, verse 2 says, honour your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on earth. This is more than a moral matter. The command to honour your parents comes from that famous section of Scripture, the Ten Commandments. And it is the first command amongst those that follows those that talk about our love for God. It is also the first of those that deals with love for one another. But it is also special in one other way. It is the first command to contain a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Now, this was a promise first communicated to the Israelites when they came out of Egypt and as they were entering the promised land. Deuteronomy chapter 5 says, honour your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. It is to be noted that this promise was given to the Israelites as they went into the promised land, and now it is being granted to the Ephesian children who were Gentiles. The Ephesian Gentiles were once far from God, and now they have become citizens in the heavenly kingdom. And part of being citizens in the heavenly kingdom is enjoying the promises and blessings of God. This is a promise to children. Honour your parents, and God promises that it will go well with you and you may enjoy long life on earth. To some extent, we could kind of set it aside and blend it in with the promises of hope for eternal life and the land that we will live in for eternity. But it certainly seems to mean something for now rather than for later. And that's the way the Israelites would have understood it, and that is probably the way we should see it. After all, could we really expect God to do well by us in this life if we didn't honour our parents? Of course not. But the promise says we can expect God to do much for us in this life when we do. Children, honour your parents. It is a command that carries a promise. But how long do we obey our parents for? Do we ever stop being children of our parents? When children have left home and begun their own families, or even when they are no longer under the training and tutelage of their parents, they begin to make their own way in the world. And most of us fit into that category. We've become our own people. But our duty to our parents does not end there. They're still our parents. And while the command to obey may fade in its relevance, the command to honor your parents never does. You were brought into being by the Lord through your parents. They were God's chosen vessels for your birth and for your raising. We don't get to choose our parents, but God does. And since God ordained it, we ought to honor those who brought us into this world, those who raised us, no matter what they are like. They will always be our superiors in a way. We are their descendants, and without them we would not exist and we would not be who we are. I think I remember someone preaching once that honoring your parents stops when you become 18. There is no such restriction in Scripture. Today, children actually seek to be free of their parents and their obligations to them, and yet they are always our parents and always will be. There's no disconnection of relationship there. You will always be the child of your parents. And everyone is a child of someone. Honoring your parents means loving them and caring for them as children ought. Your parents are not a burden to be gotten rid of. They are far more to us than that. Honor your parents. Respect them, heed their advice, speak well of them, and as they grow older, care for them, watch over them, visit them, and love them. Honor your parents. Now, how to honor our parents, particularly when they are not Christian, can be a difficult matter. Now, some parents are deeply sinful. Some parents are anti-Christian. Some parents are hateful. How do we honor such parents? The answer is to love them still and hold hopes for them. In extreme cases, remaining apart from their influence might be necessary, but that should never stop you from being ready to forgive, from holding hopes for them, and for using what opportunities you have to share the gospel with them. What is more honoring of a parent than to care for their being? It's more honoring of a parent than hoping that one day they would be made holy in Christ, that they would share in the wonderful future that Christ lays out for anyone who turns to him. There is always a way to honor your parents. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Honor your parents, and God promises it will go well with you. My children, submit to your parents. Now, Paul's words for family relationships don't end there. He also has a word for the parents. Verse 4 says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." It says fathers here, but the words are just as right for mothers. Just as when Paul calls the church brothers, when he clearly means men and women, here he probably means to refer to both parents. In Scripture, the raising of children is shared by both parents. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 8 says, "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction and do not forsake your mother's teaching." The most critical time for parents and children is when children are young. It matters because their feet are set on the right path from there, and parents have a hand in that. It matters because it is a prime opportunity to bring them up in the ways of the Lord. It is a great time to share the gospel with them. It's much harder to share it once they've left home. As Proverbs 22 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." How we raise our children matters. So how do we do that? We bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. We teach our children all kinds of things. We teach them how to walk. We teach them how to talk. We teach them common sense. We teach them so they don't hurt themselves or get hurt. But the most important thing you will teach your child will be the training and instruction of the Lord. We are to teach them from the Bible. We're to teach them the morality of it, and we're to teach them the gospel. We're to teach them what to do and what not to do. We're to teach them about consequences and the worst of those consequences, which is hell. And we're to teach them about sin. We're to teach them about salvation in Christ. And we're to lead them to hope in more than this life, and to share our hopes of heaven. Spend time reading the Bible with your children. Spend time talking about what it means. Spend time in prayer with them, and talk to them of your own faith and your own need of Christ. Point them to Him and build their reliance on Him. Raising children is more than instruction, it is training, and that means that discipline is necessary. We need to guide our children. But there's a really big challenge with that, and that's balance. Hence Paul's words, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children." It means don't make it impossible. Don't make things too hard. Our children need room to make mistakes, and not every mistake is sin. Don't provoke your children to anger. This doesn't mean that you can never discipline your children. The Bible is quite clear on that. He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. But discipline, when it is applied, should be carefully done. We fail to discipline our children well when we become the chief part of the equation. When there is disobedience, we feel insulted. We worry about our children embarrassing us in front of others. We see things happening that we didn't want to happen. Our time gets interfered with. It is so easy for you to become the center and reason for discipline. And when you are at the center, emotions run high. It gets easy to forget grace. And patience goes out the window. When you are the center of discipline, you are leaning into your sinful nature. Instead of being like that, we should be more like our Heavenly Father. We need to be slow to anger. And when discipline is applied, it needs to be instructive. It needs to be measured. We should explain what's going on. It should be founded on right and wrong before God and filled with grace. And we should always make room for our children to be restored to us as God has for us. And we also make it frustrating for our children by setting our expectations way above what they could possibly accomplish, or by making things so unclear to them that they are no longer sure of what to do. They are children, and we need to keep things simple and clear and achievable. Our children should be able to understand our instruction and trust it. And we should encourage them and reward them for their efforts, even if they fail. We should not exasperate our children. Children are God's creation. He formed them in the womb. And they are a gift. But they don't belong to us. One day they will grow up and have families of their own. They are dependent upon us at first. And hopefully one day they will no longer depend upon us at all, and they will make their own decisions and lead their own lives. It is a privilege to be able to raise children and be involved in their formative years. But let us set a good example and raise them in the instruction of the Lord. Now, Hasuk and I have two children, and both are grown up. I can't claim to have been the perfect parent. I was not.
There are things that I did as a father that I would do differently if I knew what I knew now. We love our children. We raised them as best as we thought at the time, and we taught them from the Word of God. We tried to encourage them to be the best they could be, but was I the perfect dad? Not by far. Amongst Christian parents, I was at the low end. I've met so many better fathers. But there is no perfect father on earth, is there? Not even amongst Christians. There is no perfect mother. We do the best we can at the time, and when we fail, we do our best to recover. We seek forgiveness from God and even from our children. There is only one perfect Father, and He is our Heavenly Father. And if you want to be a better parent, look to Him and to His example. How does the Lord treat us? Grace and mercy are never far from Him. There are times in our lives when He disciplines us, and those times He makes clear. He encourages us to do what is right, and yet when we fail, we're not threatened with expulsion from His family. We're encouraged to correct our ways, and we will always find Him forgiving. That's what parents should be like. And on the other side, who has been the perfect child? Who has always obeyed their parents? Who has always honoured their parents? Does anyone here think they fit that category? As children, we all fall short. Sinners we are and sinners we have been. We have been self-centred. We've complained over our parents' control over our lives. We've rejected their advice and direction. We've despised them. We've dishonoured them. We've spoken ill of them. We haven't cared for them or always honoured them as we should have. There has only ever been one perfect Son. And He is Jesus Christ our Lord. And if you want to be a better child to your parents, look to Him. He certainly honoured His Heavenly Father. He had such a passion for His Father's name. The only time anger ever arose in Him was when His Father's house was being defamed. No one honoured their Father as much as Christ honoured His. And as for obedience, perfect in every way. He even went to that cross willingly for our sake, but also for His Father's. Do you know a better son? Do you know a better daughter? We haven't been like that, have we? The perfect Father and the perfect Son, they are models for us to aspire to. Our failures as parents and as children are serious. Our failures are sin. But where does it come from? How come we never succeed, even when we desire to? Our failures are imperfections that come from our sinful nature. We were born sinners, and sin is just natural to us. It's why we need Jesus. We all need the forgiveness that comes only through Him. And if you are to be any different, if you are to grow, then you need His Spirit to be at work in you, for it is the Holy Spirit that brings a fresh influence in our lives. He creates in you a change of heart and mind, so life is less and less about you, and the sinful nature gets put aside. It is the Spirit that begins to pull the sinful nature apart so it no longer rules your life. And as sin is done away with, you can grow to be better children and better parents. Amen. Let's pray. Our Lord, our Heavenly Father, I confess before you today that we have been far from perfect parents and far from perfect children. We haven't always honoured our parents, haven't always submitted to them as we should have. And we haven't always been good parents. We've taken things too close to our own heart and forgotten grace and mercy. We've been harsh and difficult with our children. Lord, help us to be better children. Help us to be better parents. But we thank you for this, Lord, that through your Son, all of our sins can be forgiven. And that by your Spirit, Lord, our hearts and our minds can be changed, that we can grow to be more than we have been. Lord, fill us with the influence of your Spirit. May we grow more and more into the likeness of you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.